So the power of your story. Each one of you have a story. Do you know that? We call it a testimony, but it's kind of like a story. It's really your own. When I was in the Baptist church, we learned how to talk to cults. You ever did those cult workshops? How to speak to Jehovah's Witness, how to speak to Mormons, how to speak to different groups that are cults that really kind of believe they're the only way. And really, what they said is you can do the scripture all you want, but your testimony is something they will have to listen to and think about because it's only yours. When I talk about testimony, a testimony, you're called to be a witness, not a lawyer. You see, a lawyer defends everything. The witness just tells the truth of the events that took place. So as a witness, you're just telling them, well, God does this in my life. God has done this. You don't have to answer every theological question. When they come back with all these questions, you don't have to have all the answers. You just know what God has done this in my life. That's being a witness. I think about the blind man that Jesus healed. Now, Jesus healed him, and he could see. He ran into the group of Pharisees, telling them he was healed. How amazing. But do you know what the Pharisees did? They got very upset. One, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Isn't that crazy? How could Jesus heal on the Sabbath? The Sabbath was a no-work day. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. You see how religion gets in the way of truth? It's about Jesus touching a man and healing him. And then telling that man telling what he did. He was a perfect witness. You know, I think about the woman at the well. She met Jesus face to face. And then went about telling, this man changed my life. What happens sometimes in testimonies are you don't compare how bad you were. You compare how good God is. See, the testimony is about God, not about you. There were some of you who've been raised in church and really have done very little bad things in your life. Praise God for that. If you've not been in prison, raise your hand. I'll put one down. Praise God. I was arrested once, but that's another story. So, but that's a saving power. What a testimony that is. As a parent, do you want your kids to say, oh, I was in prison and killed all these people? No. What a testimony to say, God kept me from a lot of things. But it's about God, not about us. All we do is testify to the things that he shared. And so we're going to have testimonies throughout the year. We usually do it once a quarter. I've asked Tracy to give hers, and Kathy's going to give hers. And as the Lord lays people in our hearts, my hearts and our pastor's hearts, we're going to be asking you to give your testimonies because your testimony is different than mine. I was saved at 13, not raised in the church. My parents were not Christians. So that's very different than some of you who are raised in the church. Sometimes I think it's harder for those raised in the church than those raised outside of the church. It was hard for me when I came to the Lord because my parents thought I was in a Baptist church and they thought I was in a cult. Okay, they were Catholic. But I wanted to go to church Sundays and Wednesdays, and I read my Bible, and I went out witnessing, which we did every Saturday, we did, and for church visitation. They taught me right. Those were the good days. Ann and John Jimenez rocked church when I was 14 years old. And man, I remember seeing the worship. I'd never seen this before. And they were just dancing and jumping up and down. I'm like, ooh, I like that. Watching the 700 Club and Rock Church. And I couldn't get enough of it over and over again. And I remember the Lord just giving me words. And so I decided to write scriptures out. And I posted scriptures on my wall right next to my bed. I had a little twin bed. And I posted scriptures on index cards above my bed. And every day I would just look at those scriptures. And I started memorizing scripture that way. That was at 14. So don't tell me the kids are too young for that. That really changed my life. Because I had to feed myself. But I found it. There's so much now out with your apps and your iPhones and your iPads and your Androids and so much out there. So many podcasts you can listen to. So instead of putting junk in, let's get some God in. But I still go back to those scriptures on that wall. But that was a testimony. And so every time my parents came in that room, they would see that. There was one point to where, this is a little funny, my mom and dad, I did get spirit-filled after that time and the Lord did a lot of work and they had to take me to the hospital because I was having pains in my stomach, really, really bad pains. So they had to rush me to the hospital. You know how you are after you've been sick? I mean, I've been sick for a long time. And I looked really bad, and all of a sudden, a friend from high school is one of the EMTs. So he's coming to the house, and he's like, "Oh, I remember you from high school." And I'm like, oh, hi. Take me to the hospital, please. It was so bad. I remember screaming. When I got to the hospital, my dad came from the hardware store. They were so scared. I was laying on that table, and I didn't know anything else to do but start praying in the spirit. So here I go. Well, you should have saw their eyes. So my dad told one of the guys he works with that was a Christian, he goes, "Keith was praying in Latin. I don't know where he learned Latin," because he's Catholic, right? So I got to say, well, actually, that was just the Holy Spirit praying through me. So all of those things, I look back, were planted in their hearts. I was just being a witness. Some kid who didn't know everything and knew little, but I knew God. And that was really what being a testimony is. But don't you know your testimony continues today? Look at Facebook. If you go back and look at your last 15 posts on Facebook, what kind of a witness are we being? That's where it hurts. Because it's one thing to stand up here and say, "Oh, God's going to have kind of things." And get on Facebook and say, "Oh, life is so horrible, and I hate this, and I hate that, I hate my job." I saw somebody in the church say that about their job this week. I'm thinking, really? Oh, praise God, you're going to be able to really witness, aren't you? But we don't think about it. So think about it. It's your testimony. It's your witness. It's what people see about you and about us, if you're a big part of us. And about him, more importantly. I mean, how many of you, if you were to read the last 15 posts of somebody's Facebook and they're always depressed, would say, "Ooh, I want what that person has. Life is going fine. I don't need Debbie Downer all the time." But if you see something encouraging, doesn't it uplift you? I just love to see encouraging posts. Man, oh, it's such a wonderful thing where you can just read that. And it's okay to say, "You know what? I'm having a horrible day, but God is still in control. Praise God. You know what? I'm sick, but I believe God's going to heal me." We did help Mary this week. Mary lost her little sister, so we're going to continue to pray for her. She went up to the funeral, but her post, if you saw, was real, but her post was still glorifying God. "Jesus, please help me through this." I love that. You don't have to be fake. She's telling the truth, but she said, "God, I don't know how I can do this without you." Those are the things when it comes to your testimony. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. One, the blood of the Lamb salvation. Two, that testimony. That's going to overcome the enemy. The enemies are who we're going to overcome. Testimony is not a lecture, not a presentation. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to go say, "I have to give my testimony." First point is this. I'll start with a poem. It's just really saying, "Hey, you know what? I've been through that. Let me tell you, I was there and God touched me. God helped me. I know it's hard. Breakups are hard. I've been there. It's hard. But God was there and then he brought the right one." You know, you can really give a testimony about things going on in your life. Called to be witnesses and not lawyers. Blind man healed by Jesus versus the Pharisees. We want to be like that blind man. Just tell the truth of what God did in your life. I don't care what anybody says. "I'm gay and Christian." Well, praise God. I'm just telling you I am. You can figure the rest of it out. I don't have to explain it to you. I don't have to document why. I know I am, and I'll see you in heaven. Or maybe not, if you're not going. Don't have to be a pastor or theologian to give a witness. Sometimes we are the worst because we feel like we have to perform. It's just about telling the truth. It's about being a witness. Not just about our past, but also about the present. Now, this is the scripture about being a witness. Look at what Ephesians says. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." So you once were dead when you were following the devil, is what it's saying. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following his desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us," I love the "but because." One, you were this, "but because." "But because of his great love for us, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is from the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's a great scripture. Let me do it in one more version. Look at it in the Message version. I love it. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it, and all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own, with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. God has us where he wants us, with us all the time in this world, and next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, so we better be doing it. Isn't that awesome? So that's what testimony is. Know that God has done the work in you. All you need to do is tell what he's done and share what he's done. I'm going to ask Sheena to come up, but I want to pray for her. Are you coming for a second? She's a little nervous, but stretch your hands toward her. Father, right now I thank you for Sheena. Oh, I thank you for that pride. I thank you for that pride that we met. Who would have thought then that you'd be giving your testimony now? It's amazing. Father, I pray that you just want to give her the words to say and to share. I thank you for the firecracker that she is. Father, let's pray for the anointing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Today I get to share with you what amazing things God has done in my life in just a year. So anyways, I guess I'll start out with pretty much a basic thing. I'm not going to start out with my whole life because we'd be here forever, but I'll start off where God started to call me back home. Okay, I was in the Army for 6 years, got out of the Army August 2012, so I've been out for almost 3 years now. When I got out of the Army, it was a big shock. I thought that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. It made me who I was. So some things had happened, and then I didn't get to fill out my contract like I was going to. I'm supposed to be part of this Army. So when I got out of the Army, I started living with my mom because she had moved down here from Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee, by the way. And some things started happening. I went to the doctors. They're like, you've got PTSD, things like that. I was very angry person. I'm not this joyful, filled, always smiling person that you see now. I was very, very different and just awful person. It was what I was doing. So my mom opened up her heart and her arms, and she let me into her house. Well, me being the situation that I was in, I loved drugs and alcohol. That was my thing. I would drink it every morning when I woke up, every night before I went back to bed. It was my savior. It was, I'm having a bad day. Well, let's just go take a shot. Well, I had this bad thought. Well, let me take a shot to chase this away. I was going through a spiritual battle, and I was trying to mitigate that by putting in alcohol and drugs. In doing that, I had ran out of money. I didn't have a job. I was stealing my mother's clothes, her jewelry, things that really mattered to my mother, and I would go to the pawn shop and I would pawn them to get my fix and what I wanted. Well, the time had come to where I had needed a job, so I got my insurance license, everything's going good, I'm still stealing from my mother. So I get that insurance job at State Farm. Comes a time where my mom can't take it anymore, and she goes, you have to leave, you have to get out of here. And so I understood, but yet I was hurt. You see, when you're sinning, you're very selfish. You're like, well, how dare you want to kick me out of your house for stealing all your clothes and your money and your jewelry? I'm your child, you're supposed to love me unconditionally. Not when you're doing something like that to your parents, okay? So I understand everything that she did at that moment. Took me to a hotel. I can't do this anymore. So Lived in a hotel. I didn't have any place to stay, so I had to get a second job. That second job, I was working in a restaurant. I didn't have a car, so I walked 10 miles a day to work at the insurance company. And then about 5 o'clock, I would start to walk to my restaurant job. Did that for a little while. Didn't have any money, extra money for food because of my hotel, so I would stay late at the restaurant just so we would be closing and nobody would see me stealing food out of the kitchen. I was barely eating. And the funny thing is, when you have a pet, you know, you don't have enough food for yourself, but you'll buy pet food for the... So that was happening. I was very angry. I just remember being so angry and so bitter at what was going on in my life, and I didn't have anywhere to turn. And I'm like, oh, and I definitely didn't want to turn towards God because he didn't love me, right? Because I'm gay, right? So I didn't have a place in the kingdom. I didn't have a place anywhere in church. I thought, I always say to people, yeah, when I walk into that church, lightning is going to strike me right there. You know, God's like a little kid with a magnifying glass. He just wants to make my life full of pain like it has been. Funny, when you don't believe in God, you still pray to him. Do you realize that? It's like, I don't believe in you, but I need something. I don't have anybody else. I can't call my mom. She's not returning my phone calls. I can't call my sister. So I needed somebody to live with, somewhere to stay, because I was paying all this money. And if you've ever stayed in a hotel for a weekend, it's nice. Try paying that fee for 2 months, okay? So this girl that I was in a restaurant with said, hey, I know a girl that needs a roommate. I said, yeah, you'd like to meet her? Yeah, sure. So I met her, and the instant I met her, it was automatic, click, everything worked out. Anyways, the person that I was roommates with was Nadine Duran. She brought me into her home, and I'm like, well, I'm thinking the next thing, like, I don't have a car, right? God gave Nadine a really good heart, a spirit of giving. So Nadine said, Sheena, I have this car out here that I'm not using. Would you like to use it? And that was the first moment. That was the first kindness I have been shown in years. It will set you back when you see that kind of kindness. And it was just awesome how God had brought her into my life, and God was like, this is how loving is, this is how giving is. You freely give, right? Things are going great with me and her. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, awesome, yeah, this is awesome, whatever. Let's forget about God, right? God brought me out of here. Okay, well, you did what I needed you to do. That's great. You can go on helping other people. I got on, and I thought I'd done all this myself. Got all puffed up with pride. So I got a new job with Allstate. Me and Nadine's like, hey, let's go out and celebrate your new job. I'm like, that's a great idea. don't praise. Let's soak it up with alcohol. Let's do it. So we go out, and we go to a club. So we go there, and I am still filled with so much anger from my past. I mean, I'm talking about not only childhood, I'm talking about like the army and everything. So it's like bottled up, right? So I go there, and we drink, we have a great time. Smart one right here decides, well, I don't have enough money in my checking account to pay for the drinks that I just bought. It's a great idea. Let's just walk out. Let's just steal, be a thief like I've always been, and I'm just going to do that. Well, needless to say, there are security guards at clubs, and they will stop you from walking out the door. So one of them confronted me. When he did, I started to assault him. The person you see now is not the person I was. The person I was filled with anger, hate, I mean, just all this ugly, nasty junk. I mean, I tore that guy up. And then I was brought to jail. They had me outside in these handcuffs, and here's Nadine crying over here, sitting on the curb, and I'm like, man, you know, here I am in handcuffs, like, trying to be the, don't worry, they won't keep me down, like Tupac. I don't know what the heck I thought I was. I was like, don't worry, Nadine, we'll get past this, don't you worry about that. So I go to jail, and jail, if you have never been, it is definitely not like Orange is the New Black. There's no red in there. There's no hot little lesbians running around. It's nothing, okay? These are scary, hurting people. These are hurting people. And what I've noticed in there is that they were the kind of people that I was, that said, well, this is the life I deserve. I'll never get any better, so why try to be better, right? When you are marked and when God wants you back, He will go through any depths. He will do whatever he can to get to that child that's hurting, to lift them up and say, hey, no matter what you've done, I don't care. I love you. And I'm going to bring you from there to here, and I will get the glory. Okay? So God found me in a jail cell. I can't even tell you how tiny it was, but it was tiny, okay? I was scared of the girl that was in there with me because she would have these fits or whatever, but she had a Bible. And I said, can I read your Bible? And she said, yeah. So I was like, oh, here I go again, God. Here I go again. And after you free me from this, I'm just going to go right back to doing what I'm doing because you're always faithful and I'm not. So I opened it up. It kept opening to Job. Like, why are you opening up to Job? So I'd open it up again, Job. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, God, I haven't read your word in so long, and I love you, and I know that I need some changes, Father. So just please, I'm sorry. And sometimes the person that I am, God knew exactly how to work with me. I am so stubborn that sometimes it takes me falling flat on my face to understand, okay, I can't do it my way. I've got to do it your way. Found me in that jail cell. I prayed prayers and everything like that. And here's really significant to me. I was in the jail for 3 days. And on the third day, the stone was rolled away. And so I got out. And it's like I was in there with my filth and everything that I had done, you know. So here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning. Nadine comes and she picks me up from jail. And we go back home. We don't say anything the whole time in the car. We're just kind of sitting there. I'm really embarrassed about what I've done, and here's somebody that opened their house and their home to me, and here I am just being the dirtbag that I thought I would always be. I'm about to go in my bedroom. She goes, we're going to church Sunday. I was like, yes. Yes, we are. Well, before this had all happened, I had already met Pastor Keith at Pride, October of, not this past year, but 2013. A little bit. Here I am walking through there with Nadine, and I see these people, and they're dancing around for joy, whatever. And it was like the song Shackles was playing, like, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance, you know? And that was actually my theme song now. I'm like, oh, you did take the shackles off. So here I am meeting this guy, and he's all full of love, and he's hugging me. I'm like, I am not used to people hugging me that don't know me. So anyways, she was talking about this church go to that Sunday. So I was like, okay, you know, we do need to change. So we came in. And I sat, that pole right there, I sat right beside it. So where you guys are sitting, right there, that seat, right there. So sitting there, and then the first time I came in, you guys did the thing that I just love getting up here and doing, like, you have turned my morning into dancing, right? So I come in and I see those people dancing, I'm like, here we go, just full of joy and life and blah, 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 that's great for you. I'm sure you've never been to jail, I'm sure you've never had charges pressing over you, you know, and it's easy for you to get up there and dance. And so then the Holy Spirit starts to work on you so much when you're stepping foot into a church for the first time in a long time. And then they did an altar call. Pastor Keith was like, you know, if you haven't given your life to God, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, no. And like I'm gripping the back of the chair, you know, because the Holy Spirit's pulling on me, like step out. I'm like, it's like shaking so hard. And Nadine looks at me and she goes, God told me to bring you here. And I'm like, oh. So as soon as she tells me that, I come down here. It was almost like I ran, like I was just looking for something to pull me out of where I've been. And I go up here to Pastor Keith, and I don't know this man from Adam, and here I am telling him I'm bombed. It's like, oh, I got charges against me, blah, blah, blah. I've done this to myself, blah, blah, blah. He didn't say a word, but he hugged me, and he said, you're safe. He said, this is a safe place, and you're safe. That is something that I needed to hear. That's safety here that we can't find anywhere else, and that's sad. You try to go out to these other churches, yeah, that's great, but it's legalistic as well. God loves everybody. He just doesn't love me. He just doesn't love you, Pastor Keith. He loves everybody. And what he said was like mind-opening. I was like, what? Wait a second. Does he know who I am? Does he know what I've done to my family, to my friends, to myself? Does he know all this? Does he know who he's talking to? So after that, it was just like, shoo. But I still had those chains that bound me. I was still drinking all the time. I was still doing everything. You cannot expect God to move in your life if you don't allow him to move. Okay? Sometimes you have to step out of the way and you have to give it to him. Some things that are things that you cannot contain yourself. Okay? At first, I'm just getting spoon-fed, right? Just getting spoon-fed. Pastor, teach me your wisdom. Tell me. And I'm going to get free. Well, you can't get victory by osmosis, people. You have to get it yourself. You have to get it yourself. So I started. You cannot get victory through osmosis. There we go. I was like, all right, well, let's get into this. And I joined home group. Breaking Free could not have been a better book for my first home group. It could not have been a better group. I mean, it was just like constantly changing. First, your mindset changes a little bit, like, well, maybe God really does love me. And then an aha moment comes, like, well, what have I been doing? And so I started putting God's word in my life, and I started speaking scriptures to get anxiety for myself. Because, you see, those charges didn't go away, folks. I had 3 charges against me, but one of them was assault. One of them was obstruction of an officer. And then the other one was theft. So with those being said, I'm like, God, I've really messed myself up, because those kind of charges are something that can cause me to lose my insurance license. Things that I've caused to happen in my own life, now I'm ruining it. It's okay. God can do so much more, no matter what we think. No matter if, God, I've just ruined my life. He's like, no, you haven't. I thought I had the last word. You just go and you go pray and you do all those things. So I still had these charges against me, and I was coming to Bible study, and I was coming to church and everything. I'm like, God, take this from me. I know you can take this from me. So I just continued to get back in the Word and things like that. And then, so my first hearing came up. It's not really a hearing. They put you in a big room with a lot of people like this, and then they read your name, and you come up, and you meet the prosecutor. Well, the first time I did that, they said, well, Sheena, we are sending your trial to get dismissed, because this is what they thought was my first attempt. I didn't tell them it wasn't my first attempt, because I've been arrested before, folks. So they send it off to there, and I go to Bible study, and I'm like, Pastor Keith, you'll never believe what happened. He's like, what? I'm like, they're going to drop my charges. He's like, that's great. And then, but there was still a sense of like, it's not over. It's not over. So I was like, I'm just going to go do and back what I'm doing, because I don't have to worry about it now, because God's got it, right? Well, when it came time to drop my charges, they said, well, wait a second. This isn't your first time being charged. You're going back, and you're going to pay for what you did. So I was like, ugh. So that was it. And then I remembered a sermon that Pastor Keith preached one day, and he said, God has the last word. It doesn't matter. So then that's when I really started to change. I was like, God, you've got to take me. You've got to take these roots, this whatever it is that's causing me to sabotage my own, my own life and things like that. And you've got to take this. I started to look inward a lot, then blaming other people for my problems. Because it wasn't other people that were going out there and getting arrested. It wasn't other people that were stealing things from people. And I got in the Word, and I really got in the Word. See, I was just coming here so pastors could feed me. Pastor Gina, Jimmy, PK, everybody. I'm just like, feed me, feed me. I don't have to do any of this work myself. Well, I would take what they would preach on Sundays, and then I would write them down in my notebook and go study them at home. And great things happen if you do this, guys. Like, you have no idea. God will start to talk to you, and he will teach you how to handle situations. Your life will get so much better. But just because you give your life over to God doesn't mean that trials won't come. It doesn't mean that there's still a world out there, guys. There's still life. Life still happens. It's just who you cling to in that time when life happens that's going to change your life forever. And if he was faithful then, he's going to be faithful now, and he's going to be faithful again in the future. I don't care what anybody else says, because I know what God has done in my life. I know what God's done in other people's lives. There were times that I would just be walking around the house cleaning, and then all of a sudden this thought would pop into my head, you'll never be more than what you are now. you're going to go to jail again. You're going to be on probation for the rest of your life. This life, this victory, this is not yours because you can't have it. The moment that I heard that, I dropped to my knees and I said, God, I know that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And by your stripes, I am healed. And devil, you get out of here. That is a lie. You know I'm called to do his work. You know that, so get out of here. It went away. It didn't just go that easy, okay? I mean, I was rebuking. You know what I mean? God, Jesus is the best teacher I know. Like, he will literally hold your hand and be like, get on your knees and pray. Okay, now go for joy. Go for joy. Okay, now help this person with their trials. All right? Now you go say a word of encouragement to Chris right here because he's having a difficult time. And you go ahead and you pray for those who hurt you. All right? Because the devil's going to try to steal your blessings from that. Okay? And all this stuff, God's just teaching me these little things, like what I can do. And an amazing thing happens, guys. He will bust up inside of you. You'll start sprouting new roots. That woman that drank every morning to get herself going, I don't do that anymore. I don't do it throughout the day on my lunch break. I don't do that. That was a hurting person. That was somebody who was sad, depressed. It was just a filthy lifestyle that I had become accustomed to. And when you branch off into this new lifestyle, your body's like, oh, what is going on? What is going on? I don't understand this joy that's happening inside of me. I used to be able to get that through ecstasy, but God is my ecstasy. So it's going through all that. God's teaching me these little things that I can do with him, right? And so it comes time for to be judged. So I go up there and the prosecutor is reading off my charges. And I'm like, God, you have the last say in this. You have the last word, right? I'm praying, PK's praying, everybody else that I told they're praying too. The prosecutor turns my pages to me of all the things that have happened and he goes, plead guilty to one of them. I'm sorry, what? Plead guilty to one of them. Well, I'm definitely going to plead guilty to the one that's not going to affect my insurance license or my freedom. So I pled guilty to the lesser charge, and all those other ones were erased. They're off my record. Oh, in the midst of this, I lost that good job at Allstate, by the way. My old boss at Allstate was like, hey, give me a call. Let me know when all this works out. Like, okay. I'm on probation, everything like that. And then wonderful things start to happen in your life. Every single thing that I let the devil take from me, God has restored to my life. That old job that I lost at Allstate, I got it back. That's who I work for now. I'm the sales leader there. God wants you to be faithful. And once you are faithful, once you make that first step, it's like you can fight the devil. It's like the devil's fighting you. Oh, no. You've got to draw that line and be like, no, I am taking this back. Whatever you stole from me, my friends, my family, everything, I'm taking it back. And I'm not going to stand here and not going to be depressed anymore. You're not going to tell me that I'm worthless because there is a God in heaven who says I'm a child of God and I'm royalty. So no, thank you. I don't think I am unworthy. I think I'm very worthy. After all that, it really started to change. But my probation officer was like, you're doing really good. You've been paying all your fees. That's great. We're going to let you off probation early. So it was like, awesome. But here's the turning point, guys. That's when I saw my chains weren't on me anymore. The day that I was in that probation office, the day that I was waiting to meet him, for him to sign those papers and say, he said, we are going to close your case, and we're never going to open it again, and we're going to get you off of probation. Guys, that's what happens when you give your life to Jesus. Is that, you know what? God's like, what are these charges against you? Let me see. Unfaithful? No, but that's not you anymore. Let's see. Jealousy? Don't see that. That's we're going to get rid of that. Thief. Flighty. Hot-tempered. Deceitful. Manipulative. That's what I used to be known as, guys. But when God broke those chains, when I was sitting there in that office, God is like, where are your chains? And I'm like, I don't know. It's because you get so accustomed to wearing them that when you're free, you don't even know it. And God's continuing to do restoration of my life. Nadine is a really good friend that I've had for a long time. Well, there were things that happened that pulled me and Nadine apart. Things that were eating me up inside. Things that I was like, God, I'm ready to give my testimony, but you've got to make it full circle because she's such a big part of my testimony and I don't want to leave her out of it. She helped me so much. So God's like, text her. Well, no, God, because it wasn't only me and I shouldn't have to be the one to initiate this. He goes, text her. So I step out in obedience, and I do, and it's this big old long text message. And the first start of it was, hey, I want to give my testimony March 1st, because I was originally supposed to give it March 1st. And I said, I don't want to give 100%, 75%, I want to give 100%. And I was like, there are some things with you that I need to make right, right? Because the Bible says if you have an offense with your brother, you go and you make it right, and then I'll take care of what you need. Well, I did, and I was faithful in it. And then I text, an hour later, no text back. 2 hours later, no text back. I'm like, see, God? See? That's what happens. Really? How many times? How many times do I have to show you the things that I can do in your life? And part of the text was like, Nadine, I pray for you all the time. I get a text the next morning, says, well, I find it fascinating that you pray about me because I pray about you too. And I said, let's go fix this. So she said, okay. We met at Starbucks, and I didn't know she was already there because I was waiting over here at the table just a little. She's like, I'm over here. So waved to her right over there. And we didn't even talk about the past for maybe a minute or two. And then we're like, what's God doing in your life? This is what he's doing in my life. What's he doing in your life? So we just talked and talked and talked. And I'm telling you, 5 hours of doing nothing but talking about God and laughing in joy. That's amazing. God is a God of restoration. He can restore your life. He can restore your family. He can restore your friends. I'm telling you, it is a battle that you have to do. If the devil has stolen something from you, if you have done something yourself, caused offense between your friend, between your family, go to God. God can give it back. Don't be like, oh, well, no, that's out of the picture. Oh, that's long gone. No, no. God can do anything. There's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing impossible. I wouldn't be standing here today. I should be in jail, folks. But that's not what God had planned for my life. And there are still some more good things to come. But this is what God has done in my life. And I'll leave you guys with this. It was so exciting to me to give my testimony because it's like, oh, God, I get to speak about the good things that you have done in my life. So I'll leave you guys with this. Whenever Jesus did miracles, there was always a need for miracle. Blind man who was like, oh, I don't have any sight, I need you. Then when there was a need, Jesus came and he provided the miracle. So that being said, if you have a need in your life, that is an invitation for a miracle to happen. That's my story.
Awesome. That was awesome.
I just have to share this because, one, you're totally a preacher. Two, God just kept bringing to mind Paul, and I just saw him in you, especially when you said you were Tupac, and that cracked me up. But you know, Paul said, I was zealous for, you know, he went zealously in the wrong direction, and he was very zealous about it and very in your face about it. But, I mean, that same girl with that tenacity thinking she's Tupac is Tupac for Jesus now, because that same tenacity... He saw in you that same spirit, that same thing that makes you who you are, he is now using to fight the enemy. And that is an awesome, awesome thing.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. I love testimonies. I love to hear what God has done. But how many more are marked and just don't know, but they hear from us. They hear because of our love. So let's just pray for them right now. Father, I thank you for every child that does not feel like you accept them and love them. We thank you marked them and that they, Lord, are going to be brought to you. I pray for each person here as we come in contact with them, Lord, that we are able to give our testimony to them and touch their hearts and help bring them back to your kingdom. We call them in. We call them in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Woo, thank you, Lord.